Did I put the clothes in the dryer?
I hope they don't think I was
sleeping. I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I forgot
my brain shut
off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise. There's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
You're listening to the Food Freedom Life podcast. My name is Brittany Allison, and I spent 6+ years stuck in diet binge cycles, hating my body and envying others who seem to have it all because I never felt enough. What I discovered in my journey to food freedom and becoming a registered dietitian is this: you can either live your life at war with your mind or learn to work in sync with it. So if you're ready to learn how to be in tune with yourself and evolve your life, welcome to the show. Jackie Silver is a New York City-based registered dietitian and founder of Jackie Silver Nutrition, a virtual private practice specializing in supporting neurodivergent kids, teens, and adults with ADHD, ASD, and IDD. Her practice is neurodiversity-affirming, non-judgmental, and weight-inclusive. Welcome, Jackie, to the show. It's really nice to have you.
Thanks, Brittany. It's so great to be here.
For those of you listening, Jackie and I went to school together. We did our undergrad at the same school and our master's at the same school. We're in the same class. And so we've actually known each other for quite a long time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Several years.
What year would that have been when we started our undergrad? Like, was that maybe 2013 or 2014?
2014.
Wow.
Whoa, 11 years.
That's pretty wild. So it's really nice to be here as registered dietitian, something that we hoped and dreamed of when we first started our undergrad, and to have this kind of full circle moment and be interviewing you. It's really nice to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
To have that full circle.
Yeah. And so I always like to start out my interviews sort of asking just a little bit about you and what led you into doing this work.
Yeah. So as you remember, in our masters, we had to do rotations, and one of my rotations was with Special Olympics Ontario. So I got to create and run cooking classes and sport nutrition workshops for athletes with IDD, so intellectual developmental disabilities. And that was my first foray into working with the community. And I started to see how big of a need there was to support this community. You know, that I believe that all athletes deserve to be treated equally, and that includes nutrition support to fuel their performance and recovery. So then fast forward a little bit, we graduated like just before the pandemic. And then it was COVID, it was lockdown. I had all this time on my hands. The job market wasn't great. So I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to start my practice now and just see what happens. And at first I didn't really know what my niche was going to be. Like, I started off more general. I also wanted to focus on people with physical disabilities. I am disabled. But that niche like never really took off, for whatever reason. And when I was making a profile on this healthcare directory listing, they had autism and ADHD. So I was like, oh, I worked with Special Olympics athletes. Like, I'll check this off, like pretty naively. And then I just started getting all these requests and realizing how much I did not know and needed to learn, and also how much of a need there was to support the neurodivergent community. And so, I started doing extra training, and I just decided to niche down and focus on, neurodivergent kids, teens, and adults.
Thank you for sharing that. And I think that's so neat that you almost just fell into doing this, but it also kind of feels like it was meant to be your path all along, with having that placement at the Special Olympics. It prepared you for what you're doing now in a lot of ways, which is cool. And maybe you wouldn't have discovered that had you not had that placement.
Exactly. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, that's really amazing. And so, with focusing on neurodivergent affirming nutrition, I know that's something you mentioned on your Instagram quite a bit. Can you share with us what that really means in a practical day-to-day sense?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's like seeing the neurodivergence as something positive, something that just is, instead of a deficit or something that needs to be fixed. And also using, I would say, the unique qualities that come with neurodivergence and capitalizing on those in an affirming way. So I'll explain that. So, for example, like I'll get a lot of requests of parents of autistic kids who say, can you change my child's diet so that they start speaking or so that their behaviors improve? And like I'm always very honest, like, no, I can't. A, there's not really much evidence to support that. And B, that's not neuroaffirming, because that's seeing that being nonverbal or having behaviors or being like not typical to a child of their age as something that's bad. And I don't see that as bad. That's how they are, that's how their brains function, and that's a beautiful thing. So yeah, so that's an example. Another example is the like neurotypical recommendations are not going to work for my clients. They won't work for someone with ADHD, for example. Like I cannot be telling someone with ADHD to be cooking from scratch every day. Like that's not realistic. It's not going to happen. It does not work with their brain. So it's tailoring my recommendations to support the challenges that come with their neurodivergence. So making simple recommendations. So a lot of people with ADHD or who are autistic struggle with executive functioning. So the ability to plan and execute on tasks is very challenging. And meal planning and feeding yourself is takes up a lot of executive functioning. It's really difficult. You have to, plan out your meals, your recipes, make a grocery list, go grocery shopping, cook the food, let it not rot in the fridge. Like it's a lot of planning is involved. So I tailor my recommendations to reduce as many of those barriers as possible. So that could look like, buying pre-chopped produce, using frozen, buying packaged foods, like if even using meal delivery services, whatever is going to make it easiest for them to be able to feed themselves and not get that overwhelm is how I will approach my work with clients.
I love that. And that's sort of what my next question was, but I think you already kind of answered it, is like looking at executive functioning friendly nutrition as something that is totally possible and people can learn to work with their brains instead of against their brains, and that it is totally possible to balance gentle nutrition with a client's unique needs at the same time. Like those two things can fit together really nicely, because I think a lot of people do feel really stuck or limited in what they eat and feel like they need to just only focus on one thing instead of having kind of a more holistic approach to nutrition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I know like a lot of people might come at me like, oh, you're recommending packaged foods, but I'm like, yes, like that is what's going to help them. Like it's better that they eat something than nothing, and may as well make it easy so that feeding yourself doesn't take up all of your time and mental energy and overwhelm, and that you have time to focus on other areas of your life. That's like the whole point behind how I counsel clients.
Yeah, and I think it kind of goes back to that whole idea that nutrition is never meant to be perfect. Eating is never meant to be perfect for anybody, neurodivergent or not, right? There is no such thing as perfect eating. And if incorporating convenience foods, pre-chopped things, frozen things, whatever it may be, allows you to eat in a way that is sustainable and supports your body and supports your mind, that's the best thing for you. It doesn't matter if it's not, what that random influencer on Instagram or TikTok says is ideal. It's ideal if it works for you.
Yes, exactly. I love how you phrased that.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions that people maybe have about supporting individuals with autism or ADHD?
I actually haven't been asked that before. That's a really good question. I would say, yeah, the biggest thing is like that thinking that the way that a dietitian counsels all clients is going to work for neurodivergent clients. Like a lot of people come to me after they've been to dietitians before who like, just told them, oh, make a meal plan or like, oh, just eat more vegetables. When like for some of my autistic clients, like the thought of eating a vegetable, like that sensory texture experience causes them so much anxiety and overwhelm. Like they cannot just eat more vegetables. Like that's not how it works for them. So I would say that's a big misconception. Also like that like diet can like, cure symptoms of autism or ADHD. That's also, I would say, another misconception.
Totally. There's so much misinformation floating around there about that. And it's harmful, and it really invalidates people's experiences.
Yeah, totally.
So how do you make eating more stress-free for people with maybe sensory sensitivities that they experience?
Yeah, so in terms of sensory, it depends what their goals are. Sometimes their goals are to optimize the quality of their diet within their safe foods, so the foods that they're able to eat comfortably without fear. Sometimes they want to incorporate that plus also expand their diet. Like oftentimes I'll get autistic adults coming to me saying like, yeah, like I do want to try some new things. I do want to expand. So if like, for example, maybe they have one or two safe fruits or vegetables, so I'll recommend have more of those, because they might like they'll often tell me like, oh yeah, like I love like I could eat bananas. Bananas are safe, but I only have them like once a week. So I'll say like, okay, like can you have it once a day? And then in terms of expanding, like we try to, though there's also different ways to approach this, but sometimes it means coming up with textures that feel safe. So oftentimes, like crunchy is a safe texture because it's like very reliable. That's why packaged foods are often the safe foods. Like if you know what you're going to get every single time. If you think of like a strawberry, one time it's going to be firm, one time it's going to be mushy, one time it's going to be moldy, one time it's going to be sweet, one time it's going to be less sweet. Like you just don't know what you're getting. It's different every time. And so that can cause a lot of anxiety for people. So, if we figure out they like crunchy, I might recommend like, okay, can we try some freeze-dried fruits or freeze-dried vegetables? Or like if there's certain flavors that they like if they really like ketchup, I'll say like, okay, can we try maybe like broccoli with ketchup, something like that. Or like using an air fryer to make stuff more crunchy. So that's one approach. Another approach could be trying different brands of their familiar foods. Like I'll have like just yesterday I had a client tell me like he only likes one brand of chicken tenders, like only one brand, no other brands. That could be trying a different brand, trying a different type of product from that same brand. Or also like making small tweaks to safe food. So like if some people like they like smoothies, they might be okay with adding in spinach to the smoothie or adding in flax meal. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. I think that's, it's helpful to hear from you that not everybody needs to have the same goals necessarily. And I think for somebody who's maybe experienced a lot of pressure in their lives to just eat it, right? Like just do it. Just put it in your mouth, just chew it, just swallow it, finish your plate. Like I know a lot of the teens that I work with who are neurodivergent have had that experience. And so it sounds like you really help them come from a place of empowerment, and they get to set the goals and they get to decide, what feels helpful and healthy for them specifically, and help them work with themselves to, support their bodies through nutrition in a way that also feels just manageable and not super overwhelming.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like I'll have And this is more common in the autism, but also in the ADHD. Like, I'll have clients say, like, I cannot eat any fruits and vegetables, and I don't want to. I just want to improve the quality of my diet without fruits and vegetables. And I say, okay, totally fine. Let's do that. You know, like, totally respectful of that. So to me, that's a neuroaffirming approach. You know, like, yeah, something one of my clients said to me yesterday that really, like, I think will stay with me for a long time. He's like, I wish I could eat these foods. Like, I want to. He's like, the way I describe it to people is I want to, but I can't. My body just tells me I can't.
Yeah, that is something that's very powerful for sure. Like, it's not a lack of desire. I mean, certainly for some people it could be. That's totally fair too, but it's not always that necessarily. Sometimes there is that want, but there are barriers that are just too great. At least right now, and that might change down the line, but that doesn't matter right now.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
What matters is right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of ADHD, sometimes ADHD medications can really kill appetite. What are your go-to strategies for clients who might experience that lack of appetite, but then maybe extreme hunger later in the day?
So typically what I'll have clients doing in the beginning is mechanical eating. So, for I know you know what it is, but like for listeners who might not know, eating on a schedule, whether or not you feel hungry, because their hunger, you know, when they're on the meds, like most of the time they're not hungry during the day. And then they don't eat and then end up compensating in the evening once the meds wear off. So, I tell them, like, I don't care what you're eating in the beginning. I just want you eating during the day. Because often, like, they're also feeling tired and, you know, from not fueling their bodies during the day. So I have them set alarms or set, like, an Alexa reminder to tell them to eat something. And then typically what I see is, like, their appetites do start to come back, for those certain meals. And then another approach is, like, you know, sometimes they'll feel like nauseous, like they really can't eat from the meds. So we find things that feel safe. So often that's like a liquid meal, you know, a smoothie or a Sperry or Ensure, something that's, yeah, liquid, because, yeah, there's no shame in that, nothing wrong with that. Or like peanut butter and toast, like whatever is gonna not make them want to vomit. Is, yeah, what we'll come up with.
Yeah, fed is best.
Totally.
Yeah, I feel like I say that with my clients too so often. Like, we learned it in relation to babies and breastfeeding versus bottle feeding, but I think it applies to adults in so many different ways too. Like, honestly, sometimes fed is best. Making sure that you're getting something in, as opposed to thinking that, oh, it needs to be this specific way and then not doing it at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's true. There's a big movement now with babies and breastfeeding saying, like, yeah, a fed baby is best. Like, it doesn't matter if they're breastfed or bottle fed. And yeah, I'm all for that. And it totally relates to adults too.
Are there any other ways that, like, some of that routine and structure play into successful nutrition habits for neurodivergent clients?
So in the beginning, I tell them, like, it doesn't matter what it is. I just want you eating. I want you getting used to eating on a schedule. And then later we go into the nutrients of it. So yeah, having the protein, fruit or veg, a carb, if they can, and making it as simple as possible, because sometimes, you know, they can't include all those things or they forget. And so with ADHD, like, structure is really difficult. Yeah, it is really difficult. So I tell clients, like, we don't have to subscribe to these norms of like you need to eat 3 meals a day and however many snacks. Like, because some people tell me, like, I just cannot eat breakfast. I do not want to be eating breakfast. So I'm like, okay, let's plan out your schedule not with breakfast then. And so so I will say forming routines and habits is really, really difficult in ADHD. Like, it their brains just like make it almost impossible. Not impossible, I've seen success with it, but like there needs to be flexibility. And with autism, a lot, I mean, routines can also be very difficult. It depends. Like, I've seen autistic clients who really thrive on routine and structure. Like, they want to be eating the same things every day. They're not going to get bored of it. So they're like, just let's come up with what I can do that's easy as possible, and I'll stick with it every day. And so, yeah, so for if that works for them, then that's great. For a lot of my autistic clients, it is also really difficult to form routine and form habits. So it's about working with what works best for their brains.
And so how do you, I know I'm getting really into the nitty-gritty here, but how do you approach it if like they can't stick to a schedule per se to ensure that they get enough nutrition?
So what I've seen a lot is, like, if it's really hard to stick to a routine, they'll tell me like they are really trying, and like maybe what used to be like one day a week eating lunch and the rest skipping turns into like 4 days a week having lunch. So that is a big improvement. And I tell them, like, yeah, there's room for flexibility. I'm not expecting you to be able to eat, to stick to a schedule perfectly all the time. You just do your best and have self-compassion and start again the next day.
What I'm kind of hearing is, okay, let's work on having lunch, but lunch doesn't necessarily mean eating at noon every single day. Like, work on having the meal midday at some point when works for you. And
Or like some days they end up skipping it, and that's okay.
being flexible.
We need a lot of flexibility, especially with ADHD.
And I think that's hard because, you know, people tend to go online and try to look for inspiration, or, you know, they look at what I eat in a day. And maybe even for somebody who they're looking at who has neurodivergence, a lot of comparison can come up. And so for somebody who is comparing their meals or what they do with food to what they see online, what would you say to them about finding peace with their food choices?
Yeah, you have a lot of great questions. Yeah, these are really thoughtful questions. So I would say, like, I mean, with anything with social media, it's a highlight reel. We cannot compare. Like, it's not realistic. And also to like unlearn societal stereotypes, I would say, of what a meal has to be. Like, it's okay if your meal is a smoothie. It's okay if your meal is toast and peanut butter. It's okay if it's an Ensure. Like, letting go of that. Like, it's okay if you've assembled 4 different types of packaged foods. Like, yeah, so like letting go of like those stereotypes of society and social media of what a meal needs to look like. And also just saying, like, okay, well, like, if that person's neurotypical, planning out these meals is probably easier for them. So, like, I can't compare myself to someone like that, because, someone with ADHD really struggles with executive functioning. Like, it is not their fault. It is their brains making it really difficult to make change and form habits. So I would say that. And like, something that stood out to me is, like, one of a client that I worked with in the past, for her son, she was like, something that really helped me is you posted one Instagram story of having like blueberries with toast and peanut butter and saying that that's okay for that to be a meal. And she's like, ever since then, I've let go of the need to be like the perfect mom and make a gourmet dinner for my kids every night. And we've started just doing like grab and go night or charcuterie night. And she was crying when she told me this. She's like, that just helped me so much. It helped me let go of those expectations of myself and realize that simple, a meal can be simple.
Yeah, totally. There's no such thing as what is the right thing to have for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Like, get out of the idea that there are specific breakfast foods or lunch foods or dinner foods. Like, there's just food at the end of the day. It doesn't matter, right? Like, break out of what you think you should do based on what you've seen on social media or what you've learned or what even what you grew up with.
Totally. Like, who says breakfast can't be a dinner?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know, like it yesterday my client, she shared that she had a sandwich for dinner and that it felt really weird, but that was what she wanted. And I was like, why are sandwiches only lunch foods? Like, who cares?
I know. Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Totally.
Yeah. So it's cool when you see those wins and when it's helpful for people. It's really nice. I had a question about weight inclusivity. Why do you think taking a weight inclusive approach is so important with the neurodivergent community?
It can get really easy to like fixate on that one goal, on like that number on the scale changing. And then like forgetting about all the other progress that someone made. You know, so I really try to like shift the focus of like to, you know, how do you feel? Like, do you have more energy? Is planning meals taking up less brain space, less stress, less overwhelm? That's a huge win.
Yeah.
Do you like, are your bowels moving better? Is your digestion improved? Just like other, it's just really important to focus on the many positive effects of nourishing ourselves that have nothing to do with weight.
Yeah.
Some people might be on medications that just make them gain weight. Like I'll, you know, like this is a bit more like I'll work with a lot of clients who live in group homes. A lot of autistic clients who are non-speaking. And their parents are coming to me and they're like, you know, my child has gained so much weight. They're on risperidone, which is a psychiatric med to help with behaviors. And that does increase appetite. It does make someone gain weight. And like, you know, I say to the parents, like, you know, like let's work on improving the blood work. You know, if the cholesterol is high or the blood sugar is high, like let's optimize the menu in the group home. Like, I don't know what's going to happen to their weight. Like they're on this medication that is really working against their bodies. Like it's not their fault. You'd like it,
Yeah.
not that it's anyone's fault ever, but like
No,
there is this factor working against them. So like I try to, you know, shit, and the parents are so fixated on their child's weight, and I just try to like, you know, focus on all the other amazing changes that we've made.
And I think you're right in what you said that it's important for everybody to take a weight inclusive approach and to try to shift to maybe some of those more qualitative measures of progress as opposed to the quantitative of the number on the scale, because we are kind of trained to focus so much on the number, but it doesn't necessarily tell us the whole picture. It tells us a very, very small part of it. And I can also imagine that when you are trying, maybe if there are like challenges with medication or sensory sensitivities or whatever it may be, that just adding this hard focus on weight loss makes approaching some of those other things much more difficult and harder. And just trying to put weight loss on the back burner and take a more holistic approach of like, let's just help you feel better, allows more space to work on some of those other things that ultimately lead to better health and better nutrition, as opposed to just the number on the scale. And like, maybe that comes, maybe not, but maybe it also makes it easier to perhaps one day focus more specifically on that when these other parts are more managed and under better control.
Totally. I'm thinking of some clients right now, who are autistic, and sensory is really difficult. The safe foods that they have are, limited, and we're doing the best that we can to improve the quality of their nutrition and folk, teaching to eat more mindfully, slowly, listen to your body's hunger, fullness. And some of them say to me, I'm not losing weight. And I'm like, you're doing really well. Like the banana example, this client, that's the only safe fruit for them. And now they're eating a banana every single day when it used to be once a week. Like, to me, that's huge, but the weight hasn't changed, so they're frustrated.
Like highlighting some of the wins that maybe we're not as apt to focus on. And so to wrap things up, my final question kind of goes off of what you had just shared, but for people listening who might be new to this approach, what is a small but powerful shift they could make to be more affirming in how they approach nutrition?
I would say to not compare yourself to people who are neurotypical or to anyone, and to try to think what is going to be easiest for how my brain works? What are the barriers for me? And what is one small thing I can do to make that a little bit easier?
I love that. Baby steps. Yeah, it's amazing how those small changes really do add up, and how allowing ourselves to take small steps rather than trying to just change everything at once can lead to a lot more sustainability with the changes. And so, Jackie, if people are trying to find you after listening to this episode, where can they go?
So you're welcome to follow me on Instagram. I'm at Accessible Wellness. I also have a very active blog, JackieSilverNutrition.com. We post easy recipes and lots of nutrition, evidence-based nutrition information relating to ADHD and autism. And I have a free download that you're welcome to get. It's called Neurodivergent Grab and Go Food Ideas. And that is on the homepage of my website as well. So I would encourage you to download that.
Amazing. Yeah, I'll put all your links that you shared with me in the show notes. And for anyone listening as well, Jackie supports clients in New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Ontario, and beyond. So if you're in any of those places, including beyond, and this resonates with you, definitely reach out to Jackie because she's awesome. And thank you so much for being on the show. It was really nice catching up with you and chatting with you. And I'm sure everyone listening is going to get a ton out of our episode.
Yeah, it's been awesome. Thanks for the conversation.
Yeah, thank you. And for everyone listening, we'll see you in next episode.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.